Good afternoon. Today's regular meeting of the Shasta County Elections Commission is now called to order. It is Monday, March 11th, and the time is 2:00. The commission will provide members of the public with a public comment open time period where the public may address the commission on any item not listed on the agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. Members of the public may also comment on any item on the consent calendar or the regular calendar before or during the commission's consideration of that item. Commission action or discussion cannot be taken on non-agendized matters, but the commission may briefly respond to statements or questions. We encourage everyone to fill out a speaker request form, which you can find in the back cubbies, and submit it to the clerk of the board over here to my left. The meeting will adjourn by 5 p.m. With that, we will begin with the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Our person that usually does the invocation is not here. Would anybody like to come up and give the invocation? Okay, great.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to ask that your hand be on this meeting and that everybody and everyone in this room and affected or impacted by this meeting, I pray for peace and calmness as we proceed with the business at hand. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Now we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So now we'll have public comment, and our first public commenter is Steve Woodrow. Steve Woodrum, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It happens. Let's turn this down. If the hand counting recommendation had been written 2 years ago, it would have referred to Giuliani and Powell, Don Trump's lawyers, and both talking on national news almost every night. But they were excluded, probably because they've been proven to be liars. The experts listed in the recommendation, once they receive more attention, they'll most likely end up equally dishonored. The document states, quote, "Therefore, the county laws and ordinances supersede any state laws in regard to voting systems," end quote. So that means California passed a law, AB 969, with so many loopholes, exemptions, and what-ifs that we can simply ignore the law. This is naive and gullible. Only a fool would waste public money on such folly. Some county personnel, elected and appointed, meddled in our election. The purpose was to discredit our clerk and the election. Otherwise, why ask people to call a private number and not the election office? This commission was created to legitimize distrust of elections. Individual commissioners should be very careful because they are playing a small role in a vast conspiracy. And when necessary, a single person can be thrown under the bus.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Timothy Goble.
Good afternoon. My name is Timothy Goble, a lifelong Shasta County resident. I am deeply concerned that three of you have such a low regard for following the law. You very clearly know that California law does not allow hand counting in our county, and you still intentionally chose to recommend to a board of supervisors to go against California law. In our country, I firmly believe that no one is above the law, and that includes all of you. I believe we all have a responsibility and obligation to follow the law, whether it be local, state, or federal law. Most concerning, however, is that your actions at your last meeting go against this commission's own bylaws that each of you voted to accept. Section 2.1 about the commission's purpose begins with, make reports and recommendations to the board regarding existing programs, policies, and procedures in alignment with the law for future elections. The next four bullet points about your purpose include the words as allowed under the California law or as authorized under California law. Your bylaws clearly indicated that you will follow the law, but you did exactly the opposite. Why would you violate the very bylaws that you all voted to accept? Section 8.1 of your bylaws about conflicts of interest begin with, the integrity of the commission is of the utmost importance. How can you say you have integrity when you willfully violate both state law and your own bylaws? Commissioners Michaud, Lund, and Gray, if you don't intend on following the law or this commission's own bylaws, you have absolutely no business being on this commission. And I would like to ask all of you to please consider stepping down. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Nathan Blaze.
Okay, so it's pretty well known now that Bev, you were used by Patrick Jones. Is it? Do you think anybody actually believes that he wasn't responsible for the ad that you read? I mean, they're throwing you under the bus. You see that, right? They are throwing you under the bus, and Patrick and his wife lied publicly to this community. They did. They lied, and they got caught in that lie. And what you all did was election interference, which was the thing you all say you're trying to fight against. That is exactly what happened. That number that you told the community to take their extra ballots to was connected to John Knight. That people aren't stupid. You know, you guys could have gotten away with that a lot easier if you just made a new Google voice number. But for some reason, you used the number connected to Lit From Within, which is John Knight's wife's girlfriend's business or whatever she is to him. So I think, Bev, you need to step down. You did something wrong in direct opposition to everything you say you stand for and what this commission is supposed to stand for. And I think Patrick Jones is going to get in a serious heap of legal trouble. And unless you make it known that he told you to say those things, you could very well get in very big legal trouble as well. And I really don't want that for you, Bev. I know you may not like me, you know, disagree with me on a lot of things, but I actually don't dislike you. You're just like an older woman that I don't know that very well. And I think you were used by someone who uses people and is known for using people. So my recommendation to you is to save yourself. Do not let these people throw you under the bus. You don't want to go to prison. I'm telling you that. You don't. And I don't believe you are responsible for the election interference that Patrick Jones paid for. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Bruce Russell?
Yes, I just want to thank the Election Commission for all your hard work in your pursuit of transparent and fair elections. Without fair elections, our republic is doomed. I am particularly impressed with the item you have before the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow, where you are asking the board to support adopting an ordinance that requires hand counting of paper ballots. I fully support hand counting of paper ballots, which is the universal gold standard for tabulating votes. And I also love your recommendation to reduce the number of unsecure drop boxes from 16 to 4 and provide security camera monitoring of the drop boxes. One item that should have been added to your list of requests to the Board of Supervisors would to be requiring voter ID in our local elections. Apparently, Huntington Beach, California, had a measure on their March 5th election to allow implementation of voter ID in their local elections. It appears the measure is passing and will allow implementation of voter ID. It's ludicrous that we do not require voter ID in our elections. It is close to impossible to function in our society without an ID. Some say this will reduce voting by minorities and others. This is totally a hollow argument that has little or no merit. The government should provide a voter ID with address and photo to anyone who can't seem to acquire one. Voter ID would be easy to implement at the precincts, and it would create challenges, though, for mail-in and drop-box ballots. At a minimum, a printed photo ID would need to be placed in the ballot envelope that is mailed or placed in the drop-box. But preferably, we need to get rid of drop boxes and restrict mail-in voting and have one day of voting. Sadly, our oppressive state government is doing all they can to implement laws that mandating voting procedures that are insecure and provide obvious avenues for cheating. And I'd like to say, as far as the Bev Gray thing and the ad, I don't see there's anything wrong with that. I get all kinds of calls asking surveys and general information. You don't have to participate, and nobody's being forced to turn over their ballot, and there's nothing wrong with what she did, in my opinion. I just don't see that is election interference. Trying to gather information that's necessary to see problems in our elections is a good thing. And to have everything turned over to the clerk, yeah, that's fine, but it's okay to ask the questions and find out the truth. Don't be afraid of the truth.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to speak, and thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you. Jessica French.
Hello. Oh, okay, we have good sound here. So I'm live streaming my question today in this event because I think the public should be able to hear this meeting. I think it's very important, especially considering everything that transpired over the weekend with the radio ad made. And then this morning I read the KQMS article about the state investigating Patrick Jones and Ms. Gray over the ad that was not approved. So initially I have a lot of questions, and I'm hoping that you're here to answer some of them today. Are you going to tell us if it was your idea and if you were responsible for the radio ad?
It's public comment right now. So
right, she's allowed to answer, though, if she wants, right? So I'm asking a question. I have the right to ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can do that. She can do that during her commissioner report if she chooses.
That's right. But I have a lot of questions I want to ask because if...
This is not a time when we go back and forth.
I don't want to go back and forth, but how are you supposed to know what the questions the constituents have if we can't come up here and ask questions?
We heard the question, so go on with it.
Right, so I have a lot more.
Okay, go.
Okay, so my first question is if you're responsible for it, I imagine you want to take notes, so I'm going to go a little slowly. My second question is if Patrick Jones is responsible for it. The KQMS article said that Fort Jones paid for that ad. I want to know if that's true or not. Because before someone comes up here and totally bashes people, I think they should know the facts of the matter, and we can't know the facts unless we ask the questions, so that's why I'm asking. I think that if, and again, none of us are the ones in charge for investigations, but I would think if you would have went on that radio ad and said, I'm Bev Gray, I'm a citizen of this county, and I'm interested in this information, that would be different than going up there and saying, I'm Bev Gray, I'm the elections commissioner, and I want you to send all of your information for suspicions of fraud to this random number. I think that if that was the case and that is what happened, you're responsible for that. I hope you're here to resign today. Because that's interfering in our election. It's more serious than anything you're trying to pretend to investigate. We will see if investigators agree or not, but that's my opinion, and as a constituent, is that 1 minute or am I done?
You have 30 seconds.
Okay. So if you're not here to resign today, then I think that, well, first of all, I think this whole commission should be disbanded because it's absolutely insane that we're wasting our time, our money, that we have to come and sit here when we have a perfectly fine ROB running our elections. And there I go. I'm done. So I will go ahead and sit. But thank you for listening and hearing my questions.
Thank you for the support of our ROV, Jessica.
Thomas?
Yeah, I'd just like to report my voting experience down at Crossroads on 299. I went in and with my mail-in ballot, and they encouraged me to put it in a box. I said, no, I want to vote. And they go, no, just put it in a box 3 times. I said, no, I want to vote. So I took it out of my envelope and ripped up my envelope, and I said, I want to vote. I always understand I got a precinct ballot. And they go, no, it's the same thing. Anyway, I was refused a precinct ballot, so not to cause problems, I just went ahead and put my mail-in ballot in the box that the guy showed me.
Thank you. Debbie K.
Good morning. I'll just make this fairly short. I'm going to say this as respectfully as I can. It's my understanding the Election Commission was created to serve all citizens of Shasta County. There should not be any preferential treatment in your fact-finding roles. This commission has access to legal counsel, the Shasta County Election Office, and county staff personnel to assist in the preparation of material for publishing or broadcasting to the public to avoid any appearance of impropriety. The recent radio ad incident clearly shows the bias towards promoting misinformation to the public by public figures who should remain nonpartisan in their duties. There is no logical reason why Bev Gray as election commissioner or Patrick Jones as supervisor should have placed an ad on KQMS promoting a private phone number for voting irregularity of responses. This was misleading with a purpose to only disenfranchise voters even more. The comments I see on Nextdoor and Facebook confirm this. To Bev Gray, whether you realize it or not, in your passion to find answers, you are a tool Jones wanted to pin any fault on in your role as a commissioner. Congratulations on being his current scapegoat. To this end, the public trust has been betrayed yet again. This commission should be disbanded.
Jenny?
Good afternoon. Bev, you're a really sweet lady, and I really like, you know, like we've had a lot of discussions, and so I hope because I've talked to you in person and that we've had that you'll take me a little more seriously than some of the other people whom you may not get along with as well. At most, I would hope you talk to Dolores, who's already fallen for this lie and gone to jail for it. You don't want that to be for you. Like, I don't want that for you. And I'm just hoping that whatever comes out okay for you. Because this is not going to be an easy road. Asking for a private number to take the calls for election, potential election fraud for extra ballots especially could be seen as trying to harvest those extra ballots and use them, which is why people are considering it election interference. It's why giving the ROV's number rather than a private number is preferred. If you'd like to do a poll, I think that would go a little differently. I just want you to be safe because people have served time for this before, and I don't want it to be you. Thank you.
Thank you. Dolores Lucero.
Good afternoon. The reason I attended this meeting is because of all the things that's been going on, and I feel for you, Beth, but you need to do what's right, and you need to basically give up the information who was behind it, because if you don't, actually it's going to be worse for you. And in your position, I recommend that you do resign. The reason why is that anything you say could be used against you. Because now, since you received a letter from the DA and they're investigating, since you're on this commission, anything it has to do with the election. And so, therefore, anything you say from the day you received that letter could be used against you. Plus, everything gets taped. Anything gets audio, they could use it against you. So I recommend, because nobody's going to be there for you. Nobody's going to protect you. You're going to be on your own. And I'm telling you right now, I've been in your shoes. If you've done nothing, then don't let them put you in that position. Get out what you can and do what you have to protect yourself. These people, sometimes they will laugh and think it's funny and all that, think that I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you, if you know names, I already actually know who actually is behind it, but I'm going to wait it out before I say anything. I actually do know, Beth. So you need to do what's right for you, because you were not looking forward to something like this. And you, in your position right now, that's not what you need in your time to be retired, enjoying your life. And I'm sure you had good intentions to do what was right. But unfortunately, sometimes when other people who are blind leading the blind, they don't know what they're doing. They don't do a good research. So therefore, they get so desperate and they don't look into the laws that will prohibit you from doing certain things. That's why it's backfiring, because they didn't do the research. They think I'm crazy, but I'd rather be called crazy than stupid, because I do my research. I look into the laws before I do anything. So I recommend that you consider to not say anything anymore in this commission, your position, to resign for yourself, for your safety. That's all I'm going to say, but I do feel bad for you, but you need to, like I said, do something before it's too late.
Thank you. Dominic?
I thought those claps were for me. Hey, this is a problem that my wife and I... My name is Dominic Santangelo. I live in District 3, Winds District. And I'm going to read a little bit that my wife, I think it's the Valley Christian Fellowship that we vote. Precinct 0320978. So my wife and I had the same problem with, similar problem with one individual. Everything went great when we walked in and we signed the rolls, and we had our ballots with us that we got in the mail. That's how we voted. We told them we wanted to use the ballots that we got in the mail. So they said that was fine. And we signed, they told us to walk over to where we dropped the ballots. And here's what happened. The fellow that was manning that, he didn't have a name tag on. He was middle-aged and wearing a ball cap. And there was only two men at that precinct at the time. One had gray hair like me, and the other one was this fella. So number one, he wouldn't allow, this is my wife talking, he wouldn't allow me to put my own ballot in the black box. He grabbed my ballot out of my hand. It was in a sleeve. He grabbed my ballot out of my hand and said that he would do it. He removed my ballot entirely from the privacy sleeve and briefly looked at my ballot. And he pushed my ballot into the slot in the black box. That's my wife. For me, he wouldn't allow me to put my own ballot in the black box, similar to my wife. He opened the sleeve, then looked at my ballot, and it was folded. And he said, "You need to unfold it before it goes into the box." And so I unfolded it. And he said that I couldn't put the ballot in the box, and he needed to do that, and that's what he did. So we thought that was a little unusual from previous experiences. That's that. Bev, thank you for what you're doing on this commission. Please stay on the commission. And I think this commission is a wonderful thing to have in this county. It's amazing how people get riled up when you look into fraud in an election. It's just unbelievable. Thank you.
Mr. Santangelo?
Sir?
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 I just wanted to let you know, I worked one of the precincts, and at the training, they told the precinct workers to put the ballots in the box. And someone questioned, well, what if someone wants to put their own ballot in? And then they were told, well, then they can put it in themselves. But just so you know, so the default at the trainings was that the poll workers were going to take the ballots from the voters and put it in. So
that's really unusual to me because they get to see what you're voting on.
It is unusual, and it was awkward trying to slide the ballots into the box by keeping the sleeves on. So there definitely needs to be some improvement in that area and in the training. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, Kim Moore.
Greetings, Election Commission officials. There's been a whole lot of gaslighting going on in here today, and I just really encourage people to get out there and do their own research. This opposition to us being able to do anything to help secure our elections or bring transparency to it is definitely well organized. It's sad and pathetic. As somebody who participated in the hand counting demonstration done by Clint Curtis, the system was foolproof. There was no reason to take us down this path. Bev, I don't believe you broke any law. I believe that whoever made a decision to do the advertising was intelligent enough to do the research, the legal research, prior to spending the amount of money it would take for an ad like that. I'm sorry that it's being used against you. I'm sorry that you are being gaslighted, intimidated, emotionally battered around in an attempt to do what we the people asked you to do, and that is to help us secure our elections, because we still do not feel that our elections are safe and secure. We still feel that our election system as it stands is rife with potential for fraud. And I'm grateful to you. I am sorry tremendously for what you're having to endure to accomplish this on our behalf. And I will hold you in my prayers daily. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Christian.
So I was told I can't use the overhead. I guess it's out of commission and we won't be able to use it. That being said, Bev, you're a nice person. I've had the pleasure of talking with you. You're a wonderful person. If the prosecutors offer you a deal, take it. This, you are being thrown under the bus, and it's unacceptable. I had a wonderful talk with Secretary of State's office. Actually, I've had a few, and they are very aware of the situation. I think it's unconscionable that you're being set up to take this fall. This commission needs to be disbanded immediately. In fact, there's been several examples of possible illegal activity taken by this commission. The first was on January the 8th when the three commissioners voted to pass R4, mandating that Shasta County Register of Voters, Kathy Darlene Allen, immediately institute some sort of a deal where you guys get to look at the Kevin Cry petitions because you think there might be fraud, and you're going to assign somebody or an attorney to look at it. That's against the law. You can't do that, period. The second example is when on February 26, the three of you authorized a mandated hand count in the state of California. That's illegal. It's violation of election law. And advocating for people to break the law is not in your job description, period. This commission has wasted over $50,000 so far, and you still haven't even got your bylaws submitted. I guess that's happening tomorrow. This commission is set up for one, excuse me, Chair, can I point something out? My clock hasn't started, so I don't know exactly where I'm at.
Good point.
I'm sorry?
Now you have 7 minutes, it shows.
Oh, seven, okay. Well, now that's a switch.
Okay, you got 2 minutes. Go for it.
The problem here is that on the behalf of Mr. Jones, who, by the way, lost his election, and I'm sure we're going to hear all day long about how the elections were rigged, and you're going to get complaint after complaint after complaint. The fact of the matter is this commission has teetered, if not openly violated law. You are asking people to be lawless. You are asking people to break the law. Is that what you're mandated to do here as a commission? That is just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. The best thing you could do is rescind these two proposals that you're sending to the Board of Supervisors at some point to break the law. You're going to be known as a commission that is advocating that breaking the law is the way to go about doing. We don't have any documented evidence. I will write a check right now for $5,000 if you can today produce a document that says a judge in this county has concerns or has opened up a case for violating the law. It's not there, but yet you want to use taxpayers' time, money, and resources to do just that, and that is ridiculous. County Council, be aware that State of California Elections Department is looking at violations. We already know. We've got the full story about what happened. And Bev, please, I wish you the best. Don't let them do this to you.
I'm sorry. Dr. Laura Hobbs? Dr. Laura Hobbs?
Good afternoon, Dr. Laura Hobbs, candidate for Supervisor District 2. I'd like to start by saying that sending out information about how to report on unusual and illegal ballots delivered to the ROV is not election interference. They're using the wrong term for this. You weren't telling somebody not to vote or how to vote. All you're doing is asking if they voluntarily wanted to give you information. You aren't telling them that you are in charge of all this information. You're just investigating. And Bev Gray is doing exactly what she is supposed to do. She needs to be able to gather information about our voter rolls. And if that comes from the ROV, great. But if it comes from individual citizens, even better. What I'm doing here right now is a testimony coming from an individual citizen about what I witnessed on Election Day. You guys have a right to all that information, and that is not election interference. We have dirty voter rolls, and I congratulate Bev for all of her hard work and bravery, and shame on all of you guys for threatening and intimidating her. She's a good person, and she doesn't deserve this treatment, okay? And furthermore, on the topic of dirty voter rolls, I will make note that we had 2,467 ballots that were sent out, and they were returned as undeliverable. It'll be interesting to see if those same 2,467 votes are sent out again in November, because I suspect they will be. They say they clean them. They do not clean them. So right now, when we go to vote, we need to ask for precinct ballots when we go in. And the reason is because if you drop off your pre-filled out ballot, they still have to go through a checkpoint. They need to be signature verified. And here we are, 1 week after the election, nearly 1 week, and we do not have election results. And that's because all of those ballots that were sent in by mail or surrendered on Election Day within an envelope are still in envelopes. We have a room upstairs of 9 little old ladies who are working as fast as they can to open those envelopes. It's a bottleneck. So the system is designed to be slow and inefficient. I don't blame those 9 ladies, but why don't we have 100 working age people opening those envelopes? We could have the results on Election Day. This doesn't make sense. And I know ballots do trickle in, but we need to have a stronger and a bigger team opening those ballots. Furthermore, as an election observer, I noticed there are no dates on the boxes, no dates and no times. This is a problem. There was no chain of custody in the blue room or the bat cave, and I'd like to announce something that I observed that was quite shocking. Sitting in Kathy Allen's office was none other than the Hart representative. He sat there on his laptop, and he moved between there and the bat cave.
Can you please sit down?
I would like to take extreme exception to our elections workers being called little old ladies, as if that's a problem. Many of those people have been working to count ballots in this county for a decade or more. These are people who know how to get the job done. Thank you.
Brad.
Today, I'd like to pose a simple question for the Election Commission. We hear about all of these problems with our voting machines. Well, first of all, we don't use voting machines. We use vote scanners. People don't vote on machines. Contrary to what Dr. Frank said at this meeting, a board meeting, we use paper ballots. He said California needs to go back to paper ballots. We use paper ballots. There was another gentleman that came from some other part of California. He was talking about proprietary versus open source code. He made it very, very clear. Hand counting is a non-starter in a county our size. Forget about it. That was somebody that Patrick Jones invited to talk to the board about the code, because the code could be hacked. Well, let's talk about the code. Let's talk about the machines. Let's talk about hand counting. We hand count. We do hand counting as an audit tool. If anybody understands statistical sampling, we take a 1% audit. If there was anything wrong with the scanners, the 1% audit would catch it. There's no way to defraud the voters, and that's why we have 100% voter integrity. There's no sense talking about Dominion machines, Hart InterCivic machines. We hand count. We always hand count. We have paper ballots we can always go back upon. So I would like to ask any of the commissioners here to explain how you can rig the machines and rig the hand count. We have about 69 precincts in this county. The numbers are put in a hat. A random precinct is selected for hand counting. So tell me, how does somebody know how to rig the machines to perfectly match which district is going to be hand counted? There's no way to do it. There's no way to do it. If one of you commissioners can tell me how we can rig the hand count and the machine count, I'm all ears. I am all ears. But it can't be done. So all of this talk about election fraud is nothing but nonsense. Total nonsense. So come on, any of you, I'm opening it up to you. Tell me how you rig the hand count and the machine count. There cannot be any discrepancies, not a single one. Has to be perfect.
George, tell us.
Good afternoon. I'm very thankful to have this opportunity to kind of listen in. It really seems everyone's pretty charged up, and I'd like to just bring a little twist to this little gathering. I was given this little guy in a time and a space where there was hospitality was flowing. So I'd like to shift the atmosphere.
If you can please address the commission. Please.
I'd like to shift the atmosphere here and share some hospitality. You know, we're all created in the image of God, every one of us. So I'd like to speak peace and shalom, okay, to every one of us, okay? We all have our opinions. We all have our beliefs. We all have our different things that we're going to go to the mountain and fight for, what have you. But at the end of the day, we're going to live amongst each other. We're part of a sermon. We're people together, okay? Now, I'll share my view, okay? I don't have to be a rocket science to figure out when I come into a meeting like this that something is wrong, okay? Something is wrong. It's questionable. And so I sit there and I think to myself, well, if it's questionable within me, don't you think within our society there's a lot of question going on amongst us all? What is the big deal to have voter integrity? What's the big deal? Okay? How can we gather around a table and make some sense out of this? Or are we going to have different types of little snares or this and that towards one another? There's got to come a point where we begin. You know, we all got here one way. We got in a car. We woke up this morning, we took a shower, we did all these normal things that we do as human beings. But we need to let this old little thing that's going on between us go and be open to the idea, what is going on? Is there shenanigans? What is the big idea? What's wrong with having voter integrity? One day vote, one day count. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for open public comment?
Good afternoon, Board. Tim Saunders, District 2. I would just like to reiterate again that the only way to ensure a fair and safe election is to go to hand-counted paper ballots, one-day counting, make it similar to jury duty, and have a whole bunch of people count and get the job done in one day. Several modern nations do it exactly the same way with large ballots just like ours. On election day, I had the privilege of observing at the Vets Hall, where there were many hardworking people getting the job done. They all seemed to have good intent. However, the votes were just they were just put into boxes for counting later, and there is no way to verify that there was a consistent my vote counted for what I wanted it to with the machines involved. There's no way to do it. And so I appreciate your hard work, Bev. Next time you can use my phone number if you want. You know, just do whatever you can to bring the situation to light for people that feel that they've been defrauded, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lori Bridgeford, and this is public comment. I find that the advocacy is what's going on with the helpline, a tip line. Use whatever number. Things have gotten so untrustworthy at the ROV office. This is what happens. I remember during the whole vaccine shots clinics, Richard and I did some PSA ads, alerting, warning, educating. See what I'm saying? Says the vaccine-injured person that can't keep his mouth quiet.
Oh, come on, you guys. Go on.
I'm not. He's interrupting me, as always. So I find this as being helpful, Bev, because this commission was formed because of the doubt and the mistrust. We still don't know the exact cost of that black wrought iron fence at Market Street downtown. Why is that a big secret? See, this never helps with trying to gain trust and respect. So I think it's been a horrid job by the ROV office, the dirty roles. You were mentioning in the ad, you know, there's deceased people, wrong address, no address, lots of problems. And you'd think the ROV office would have done this, but they didn't. So now you have to take brave and noble people who will come forward like you and do it. Look at the fraud that came out of Fauci and the whole COVID thing. This is connected. Vote by home, close the businesses, all of it. It's obvious. There's cheating and corruption and the back door to all of it. Why did the envelopes have a Republican on my envelope? They can sort right there. That's giving away a whole lot of information. And I'm not even a Republican. I'm a no-party person, but if you want to vote for anybody, there's all these weird little guidelines and rules and policies. So it's ridiculous. I just want to say advocacy work is what has to happen. What was it? The federal agents showing up, no ID, not signing in. This was the U.S. DOJ. I was listening to the Sunday radio, and there's problems. What's this curbside voting? Are we ordering curbside food? What's this curbside voting? Where's the security on that? There's just so much going on. And I appreciate your tenacity and hanging in there. And I would give my number any day if I'm going to advocate and get you some help. I have 25 seconds. That's part of what it is. She was not asking for, oh, bring me your stuff and let me help you with it and all this. She was just alerting, watch out, pay attention. That is a normal thing to do. It's not criminal. And I wish these people that want to try to scare the hell out of you would just shove it. So, Bev, thank you so much. You're a brave woman, and I don't know why we can't have hundreds of people counting. It makes no sense.
Lori, can you tell me where in Shasta County there's curbside voting?
There was curbside
downtown.
Every precinct had curbside voting.
Is that a measure of ensuring access for people with disabilities?
Yes.
Okay. And I wanted to tell you, Lori, that every precinct was instructed that two people were to go to that car to take
I asked
that.
About that, too, but I don't remember this happening in other elections is my point. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else for public comment? All right.
Before we move on, Chair, yeah. One of the speakers had expressed concern about how their vote was placed into the black box. And election code 14275
says, before leaving the voting booth or compartment, the voter shall fold or place the ballot card in the envelope so that the ballot markings of the voter will not be exposed and the ballot stub will be outside of the envelope or other container to be removed by the precinct board. Section 14277 goes on further to say, the voter shall hand the folded ballot or the envelope containing the ballot to a precinct board member who shall remove the ballot stub, hand it to the voter, and deposit the ballot in the ballot container. If the ballot is to be transferred from the envelope to the ballot container, care shall be taken not to disclose the markings of the voter on the ballot. So while we can all muse about the fact that maybe we don't like that as the process, that is what the law says. And that's where we should go change.
Well, so I was...
Not let you get away with that.
Sir, please, sir, can you please sit down? I'm gonna respond. Okay, I was at the same training. Order.
Yeah.
I was at the same training as Commissioner Machado. And as she stated, the instructions to the poll workers were that they bring it over in the privacy sleeve, and then the poll worker slowly slides it out between the slit and the privacy sleeve so that it can't be seen by anybody. Somebody raised their hand. They asked, well, what if they want to put it in themselves? And they said, that's fine. They can put it in, just let them put it in themselves. And they do the same thing. They hold it up there and sort of slide it in out of the privacy sleeve. So maybe all the poll workers did not get that message. And this is a good opportunity for me to let you guys know that I have connected up with one of the inspectors that worked at the polls, an unlikely person for me to connect up with. But we both agree that the training was not sufficient. I was out observing, thank you, myself on election day at several precincts. The training could use some help. Okay. So her and I are going to get with the ROV's office and see if we can help to, you know, develop a training that will make it so that all of the poll workers know what's going on and so that there is consistency between the precincts. So that hopefully by November we can do that, work with the ROV's office to make that happen. I also wanted to mention, somebody mentioned when they came up that people should vote, you know, with a precinct ballot and this and that. You know, every cycle, election cycle, things change at the precincts. This time, you know, it was no different. There were different changes. But what was supposed to have been allowed was you could come in with your vote-by-mail ballot in the envelope and put it in the vote-by-mail box. Or you could come in with your vote-by-mail ballot and you could take it out of the envelope. You could check in at the poll pad, sign in, and then you could vote your vote-by-mail box out of the envelope into the black box. And you did not have to use a precinct ballot to do that. Some people are obsessed with precinct ballots and they would rather have a precinct ballot, and that was okay too. You could surrender your ballot. They write surrender on it. You can get a precinct ballot. You can go into the little thingamajigger and mark it, and then you could bring it over and put it into the black box. So all those options were available, but not all precinct workers understood what they were doing, unfortunately. So anyway, I just wanted to say all that.
I don't believe we even had to surrender the precinct ballot in the mail.
You could come in without a ballot, check in on the poll pad. If it showed you hadn't voted yet, you could get a precinct ballot and you could vote it. Yeah. All right. So moving on, we're going to switch R1 and R2.
Oh, we don't have any more open comments.
No. Okay. We're going to switch. Oh, no, we're on consent calendar. So C1, approve the minutes of the meeting held on February 6th. And I have an issue on page 2.
Just for clarification, Chair, we're talking about the February 26th meeting minutes, correct? Not the February 6th?
Yep. Okay. Right. I just read it wrong. Sorry about that. Okay, on page 2, under the ad hoc committee recommendations regarding drop boxes, ballot drop boxes, on the second paragraph, it doesn't say as amended. You see what I'm seeing?
I'm just reading there real quick. Hold on one moment.
It should say approve the recommendations as amended, or however you want to word that. That makes sense?
Sorry, Chair. Real quick. So Kristen Golingsmith, one of my clerks here, who helped to draft these minutes, was just pointing out that that section that you are referring to, there's two sections with the same title, and the second one just needs to be corrected to reflect the hand-counted ballots rather than the drop boxes. So if you look up above.
Yeah, I see that.
So those ones do show as amended in the language. It's the hand-counted ballots item that was not amended.
Right, and then the title of that subject needs to be
correct. So the title, we can correct the title, but we don't need to add the words as amended into that second paragraph. We can leave as written and just update the title to reflect the correct item.
Well, that's not true, though. Oh, because
that one was amended.
Yeah, it was amended. I'd have to look back, and I don't know if I have it with me.
So it's my understanding that the only recommendations that this commission amended was the one regarding the ballot drop boxes. The other one was not amended, to my knowledge.
Well, it was amended. It was significantly amended during the meeting. What had been posted. If you recall, what had been posted was incorrect, and copies were brought for the public and the commissioners on changes. And then, you know, unfortunately, I don't have that with me right now, but we might have made a couple of adjustments, even if it was like a couple words or something, we might have made a couple of adjustments. So okay. I would definitely say as amended.
Okay. I will certainly look into that and then bring these minutes back. If you're fine pulling these from the agenda completely, we can make those revisions, bring it back at the next commission meeting.
All right.
I have a question for County Council. Do we need to pull voting on the minutes in order to add as amended?
I don't think it's a bad suggestion. There's okay. No urgency on it. But by my recollection, I believe both matters were amended
yes.
during the course of the discussion. But as I sit here, I'm not looking. I would like to look at it. And I think what we're trying to say is that both of those items were amended. So we'll take a look at that.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to R1. We're going to switch R1 and R2. And so that brings us to discuss observations from the March 5th, 2024 primary election and consider directing two or fewer commissioners to prepare draft recommendations for the commission to consider approving for board consideration at a future commission meeting. So do we have any public comment on this topic of March 5th elections? Okay.
Okay,
Good afternoon, Commissioner Laura Hobbs, Dr. Laura Hobbs, candidate for Supervisor District 2. I apologize. I didn't see that this was actually an agenda item, but earlier I should have just stopped and continued it now, so my apologies. So what I witnessed that I wanted to talk about was that in Kathy Allen's office, instead of having Kathy Allen because she's out sick, there was a Hart Inner Civic representative, the same guy who was here for the open house back in October, and the same guy that was here helping administer the November 7th election in 2023. And he was there in Kathy Allen's office. He was typing on his laptop. Periodically, he would go into the Batcave, which is the area where the Hart Inner Civic Central is, the tabulator. Some of people in Shasta don't realize that we are still actually machine counting. A lot of people think that we are hand counting currently, which is, I think, a big problem as far as the public awareness. And anyway, so that's where our machines are. That's where the Hart Inner Civic is located. And he was moving in between those two rooms to administer our elections. Obviously, I don't know exactly what he was doing on his laptop or what he was doing to help out Anna in the Batcave. But the other items that I need to call to your attention is that they recently inserted a door between the Batcave and the Blue Room. The Blue Room is where they take the envelopes up to be opened. And now there's a door in between these two rooms, as well as two entry doors for each room. So anyone who has access to the Blue Room now automatically has access to the Batcave, which is where the centralized computer is located, which I think is a security weakness. It's another security weakness. One of the big problems I saw witnessing what was going on in these two rooms is that once the ballots were removed from the envelopes, they were just set on an open-air rack, piled in sacks of 100, thousands of them, waiting to be tabulated. They weren't contained. They weren't in any form of chain of custody. For chain of custody, it has to be in a contained box with a signature seal, time, date, as well as the count is the number of ballots that are within that box. So that's a grave concern that there was zero chain of custody as soon as the ballots entered the Blue Room, and there was zero chain of custody for the ballots that were in the Batcave as well. And then lastly, which I kind of mentioned, is that there are no dates placed on the boxes after the ballots are scanned through the scanner. They're put in a cardboard box, and there's no date on that. I see that as a big problem. Thank you.
Point of a clarification. The door between the Blue Room and the Batcave is there in part to improve the chain of custody so those ballots are not coming out around any other people in the public that are standing there watching and observing, and also to address some issues of employee safety, because having to bring those ballots out of that room, people were being confronted by people from the public who were not being kind, who were not being cautious of, you know, personal space. And so those are all issues that lead to chain of custody issues. This was an attempt to provide a greater level of chain of custody. And we once again need to talk about the fact that a 100-year-old building that used to be the Montgomery Ward's department store was not intended to be a place for chain of custody. The best level of chain of custody or observation for our elections. So when we can get a better building, that will probably improve.
Could I just make a quick remark? Is that a building does not provide chain of custody. It has to be a sealed box or container.
Thank you, Ms. Hobbs.
Thank you.
I do see that it could be a security issue, because in the Blue Room is where you have temporary workers doing temporary work. In the Batcave, you have permanent employees that do the important task of tallying the ballots. So you've made a conduit where you're mixing temporary workers that have access to the room where permanent workers tally the ballots. I'm just saying that it's a potential.
We should really be addressing these chain of custody issues with ROV staff in the context of the law that has to be followed and the work that needs to get done.
I agree. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
Observations?
Yes.
I think it was last Thursday. My name is Dominic Santangelo. Hi, Bev. I think it was last Thursday or Friday I was asked to come and assist with observation of signature verification. And as you know, the observers sit in the hallway looking at screens of the people that are doing that the business inside the room. So we're looking at screens in the hallway. In comes, now this, I'm just observing here. In comes Nathan, whatever his last name is, Nathan. And he's like this. And he's literally following Joanna. Just right behind her, 3 feet. And as they're walking, he's walking. And he's like that.
Sir, if I can... Your comments aren't being put on the record unless you speak into the mic, sir. So I just ask that you speak into the mic so it goes on record.
Thank you, Stephanie. Sorry. And he's not being confrontational. He's just filming. And he's filming. There was three of us. And he's looking and he's filming. And Laura started talking to Joanna about some technical stuff. And Joanna was explaining, and Laura was asking questions, and he was filming. And I asked him, "Are you filming?" He goes, "Yes, I'm not violating any law." Okay. I asked Laura if she mind him filming, and she said, "Well, I don't really care. I wish he wouldn't, but I don't care." Kind of brushed him off. And he's filming, and he was filming at an angle at one point where he could you could film the you could see the screens. And I thought that was really odd. About 3 years ago, I went to ROV to observe 3 or 4 years ago, and they told me I couldn't film anything. I thought that was good. I thought that was a good policy. But this policy, where anybody could walk around and video, is a bit odd because they could film the screen, look at ballots, that kind of stuff. Thank you.
There are different rules for people who are a part of the media, and so that's probably the distinction there. Nathan does work for a local media outlet.
Nathan what? What
he works for a local media outlet.
So he's going to put it on a YouTube video of showing the ballots or whatever. He can do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I actually like Nathan. He does a great job to expose a lot of information out there for people to get educated. That's actually a government entity. He has the right to go in there to observe, and if he's got permission, that's okay. He can do that. So it's not against the law for him to go in there and ask permission to video.
Dolores?
Yes, Dolores? I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Just so I want to make it clear. So, you know, observing everything that goes on, the election, I get it. I know you guys want to make sure there's no election fraud. I'm all for that. But when you don't bring anything to the table and show evidence, and you're just saying, if you would have brought a freaking machine here and really show how it really works, I think people will kind of have doubts there is election fraud. But when you just say something without evidence, and it's actually... it's your say, and it's insufficient evidence. You can't just go along with something what somebody's saying without evidence. You need to prove these people for them to understand what you're talking about. It's just saying it ain't going to happen. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else for public comment?
What I observed and what I recommend. I observed precinct workers working their asses off for 14, 15 hours a day, checking it twice, checking it three times, checking it four times, to provide Shasta County with democracy. This commission ought to be writing a letter to every single precinct worker thanking them for doing just that. Now, at the precinct where I was working, we had a militia member show up. He was polite. He maintained his space where he was supposed to be. He left a couple of clueless people there observing who were trying to engage with staff. They were clueless. They hadn't a damn clue. Here's what I've also observed down at the Kathy Darling Allen's office is, yeah, they've had to put up security because a couple of years ago, we had militia members crashing the back door demanding access. That is illegal. So I want to thank especially my precinct captain, who was incredible, nonpartisan as can be, polite as can be. And most of all, I want to thank every single voter that came in there and voted. Everybody, except maybe three, were polite, kind. There was no problem. It went smoothly. I recommend this commission, if you don't disband, which is probably what you should do, is figure out how to thank the people that worked their you-know-what off to provide democracy to the United States of America here in Shasta County.
Kim Moore.
Kim Moore, District 1. I'm going to add emotional ransom and emotional blackmail to the gaslighting list of what we're being witnessing here today. What I observed was that District 1, City Hall, I did not get my ballot. I got the pamphlet. Had my name as usual. The voter information all came as usual, as it has the past 8 years. But then I got a text message from the Secretary of State telling me that my ballot was undeliverable. And so I went, and after numerous phone calls, I had placed phone calls to the elections office and left messages, but nobody returned my call. Then I spoke with the Secretary of State, who told me that I could go to the precinct and be given a provisional ballot, to which I replied, if I couldn't be given a precinct ballot, that I was going to call the sheriff's department and make a report and request an investigation. Shortly, a few minutes later, I went ahead, as she recommended, and called the ROV's office, where this time my call was answered. I was assured that I would be allowed a provisional ballot, that they could see that my ballot had been marked as undeliverable. And then I received a telephone call back from the Secretary of State assuring me that I would be allowed a precinct ballot, not a provisional. And then while they're voting, I was told by poll workers, and I'm sorry I didn't get her name, she was kind of a short, heavy-set lady with purple hair, told me that nothing in the black tubs would be counted until after the mail-in ballots were counted, which, if I'm understanding right now, that was inaccurate information. And the other thing that I would like to state for the record that I am observing is a spawn of Satan running interference for a hostile ROV. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment?
Okay, I just wanted to talk about what I observed on Election Day as a personal voter. First, I voted on Election Day in Palisadro at the holiday market where they had the ballot box. I dropped my ballot into the box. My husband came with me. He dropped his ballot into the box. And I received a text message days later saying, thank you so much. Your ballot's been processed and counted. So I was like, yay. Because last year, I did the same thing, and I got a text message that said, Your signature is invalid. You need to come to check it at the elections office. So I went to the elections office where they asked for my information, and they pulled it up. They verified my identity, my signature, and then moments later I got a text message that says it's been validated and counted. So my experience has been completely positive with our elections office. Also, I wanted to talk about other observations that I've heard. I also was an observer at the elections office on election day. I observed Ms. Hobbs asking Joanna questions that were technical questions. I observed Joanna respectfully answering tons and tons and tons of questions. And I observed Ms. Hobbs saying, "Thank you so much. You've alleviated my concerns." One of those concerns she just came up here and said again, which was that there was no dates on the boxes, and Joanna gave her a very lengthy explanation about how they're color-coded and how, you know, and she asked follow-up questions, and that's when she said, "You've alleviated my concerns." So if people's concerns are actually not alleviated, they should probably ask further questions of Joanna, because it's not that she is not doing her job. She is answering people to the best of her ability, but if we don't ask her the right questions, we won't know. Another observation on election day. I received a video from a friend that went to Anderson City Hall and was dropping off her ballots. And she had her daughter with her that was 18 years old, and it was her first time voting. And at the ballot box, she noticed a vehicle sitting there. And on the vehicle, the window, it said Save America, and it had USA flags on it. And there was a woman and her teenage daughter there that were recording people that were dropping off ballots at that ballot box. And when she realized that she was being recorded, she said, "Are you recording me?" And this woman said, "Yes, I'm recording you." And then she starts recording on her phone, and the woman starts telling her, "Election fraud, voter fraud, you're putting too many ballots in there. How many ballots did you have?" And just completely harassing this voter. So those are my observations from the day.
Thank you.
Lori Richard, regarding observations, I was at the downtown Market Street for a brief check-in, and I observed what looked like a mother with her teenage son voting for the first time. She asked for paperwork, application, and no ID was needed, because I asked a friend I was standing next to, I go, "I guess no IDs are ever needed, ever?" And the woman next to me, not the mom, she said, "That's considered privilege. You're privileged if you're asking or needing a photo ID." And I just thought that was kind of bizarre and weird. I don't know what the parameters are. I mean, are IDs never, ever needed for the teenagers coming on board and voting for the first time? I'm not exactly sure. But I thought that was outrageous, and I was just stunned. I don't think it's privilege. You have to have your ID for so many things. Constantly you need your ID. So just putting that out there, you're the commission, and I don't know what you make of it, but that's my report. Thank you.
Anybody else for comments about the March 5th election? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Would you like to report anything?
Sure. I was made aware of the same situation that Jessica French just mentioned at Anderson City Hall. I was also made aware that at Anderson Church of Christ, at 10 minutes until 8 p.m., just before the polls closed, three observers showed up. At least two of them claimed to be there on the behalf of this commission and began to not just observe, but to interrogate, to attempt to learn process when they are given the privilege to observe. And
it wound up, because it was so light, the turnout was so light at the poll, I was told by someone who has worked that precinct numerous times that they should have been able to be out of there by about 9 o'clock, and it was 10 o'clock before they were able to get their ballots down to the Market Street office. I'm a little concerned, more than a little concerned, about who it is, that if there's somebody on this dais that may have proffered that to some people, or who is it that is acting on our behalf? Because I know I didn't ask anybody on our behalf, and I know we didn't vote to have anybody on our behalf, because we've been told that we can't, that there's a problem with us somehow enjoining volunteers in our work.
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to. I mean, do you have names or locations, dates, numbers? I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, so there, I haven't seen the sheet, the sign-in sheet. I was told the names as soon as I know that those can be released legally. But we need to look into that, because, I mean, did any of you tell people that they could represent us on our behalf?
Absolutely nope. not.
Absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Suzanne, just clarifying question. Did you say that the, I mean, it seemed like it was implied, but did they actually say that their closing was delayed by having people observing?
Their closing was delayed by observers not remaining observers. They were delayed because people kept asking tons of questions, trying to answer politely, but at the same time, it was clogging up process for them getting out of that building.
And what location was that?
Anderson Church of God.
Okay. Of Christ, you said.
Anderson Church of God?
Yeah, COG, I think. I may have misspoke initially, sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I had the privilege of participating as a precinct volunteer for the first time this year. And yes, it's a long day, and it's tiring. But it was good. There were, you know, hiccups that I think just come from having a new system. There was no, I didn't see any intention on any of the volunteers' part to upset or delay or mislead or anything like that of any of the voters. I would say most of the voters coming in were confused. They didn't understand the system either. Some of the poll workers didn't understand the system. But we were able to, among the poll workers, we were able to clarify everything within a couple hours of opening. We had some poll pad hiccups, and those were resolved eventually too. But there was a backup, so there was a paper poll pad. So voters could still vote. They just signed in and voted. I think the November election should be a lot smoother. People will understand better just from having experienced it. I hope the poll workers will understand better as well. It would be great if I don't know, in cooperation with the media or something that RRV does, but if there's some kind of more community education, you know, just explaining what to expect when they go into the precinct or when they go into the ROV. Because nearly every voter that I saw was confused. So if we were able to help them, that was good. And also, all the voters were in good moods. We had one grumpy voter. That was it.
How about you, Ms. Gray? I have nothing to say. You got nothing? Okay. I was out observing on Election Day at several precincts. Numerous locations had issues with their poll pads. There's at least one precinct that is consistently not run well. And I've tried to address this with the ROV's office to no avail. It was no different this time. Hopefully I'll be working with them on that. Some observers... So the way that it was supposed to work is at the end of the day, there was a clear box with the vote-by-mail ballots. There was a black box with the loose ballots of people that had checked in on the poll pad. And they were supposed to be counted there at the precincts before those ballots left that building. And that is something that observers can watch. And why that is very, very, very important, at least for people that think that there are some election integrity issues, is that that's the only way to know what the numbers are coming from that precinct, and that those are the same number of ballots that get up to the ROV's office. And I heard reports from at least two precincts where observers were not being allowed to watch people count those ballots. That was unacceptable, in my opinion. Just things like that. One of the main things was the poll workers were completely inadequately trained at almost every site that I went to. Well, I'll take that back. Not at every site that I went to, but, you know, there are some really well-run precincts, but there are others, you know, especially where they've had problems in the past and then they have new workers coming on that don't know anything, and so you combine, you know, past bad workers with brand new workers, and it's a recipe for disaster. So there's all kinds of things that we can do before November to shore up that issue. I'm confident of that. You know, there's other little things that I have personally observed that are always frustrating. Always being there, just all kinds of things that go on. For instance, at one of the places that I observed, they were supposed to be printing out from the poll pad the street roster. So that tells you who voted, and it's supposed to be hung outside. Well, they weren't printing out the street roster. They were just printing out the totals, and they're posting the totals. So periodically, you know, the total's 55, then it's whatever, then it's 102. But they're supposed to be printing out the whole thing, and I couldn't talk to the poll workers about the fact that it was being done incorrectly. So they were all excited that they got it to print the total, and they thought they were doing the right thing. Again, it was just ignorance, because there was not a single person out of the five people working at that precinct that had any idea what was going on, and they didn't know what they were supposed to be doing. So, you know, that kind of thing. It was frustrating to observe. I'm confident that we'll get it better by November, so that'll be good thing.
Chair, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I would just like to remind ourselves and everyone else that in the past 14 months, our Registrar of Voters office has had to disassemble a voting system, get a new voting system, build a hand count system, deal with learning new machines. The fact that Hart was on site, thank the good Lord that we had Hart representatives here as backup in case anything went wrong with a system that our ROV's office has only been running for less than a year. I think that even Joanna and Kathy will tell you that they are always open for improving things and making things better. And I think that considering everything they've been going through this entire year, mostly unnecessarily, I will point out, that, you know, because of directives from the Board of Supervisors or elsewhere, and doing so short staffed, there have been key people on leave over the last several months, and we had fair, free, and accurate voting in Shasta County, and I want to thank you personally for that, Joanna, and the rest of your staff. Thank you. Great job.
I just want to say not all new precinct workers are bad.
Yeah.
No, I would. No, I'm just making light of it, but no, really.
I understand.
Well, and it's an ongoing process. You know, some people leave, some people come in, so right. There's going to be different levels of knowledge.
I did qualify it by saying that the process is constantly changing.
That's another thing. Almost every year, something changes in the election law. And so basically, these people over here, in addition to keeping democracy on the rails, are learning how to do it a different way in some fashion every single year that we have an election. So kudos to them.
Yeah. So I would like to mention, back to observing the poll pads, there were issues at numerous precincts with the poll pads not booting up or whatever was going on. Precincts weren't ready to use the poll pad at 7 a.m. when the polls opened. They do have a backup, which is the street roster, which is what was always used in the past. In my opinion, the street roster is better. It's more simple. It's easier to use. There's not all this complication about people not understanding what is going on and how to print a street roster and, you know, what they're supposed to check on the screen. Not to mention that everybody that signs is signing on a little screen. And I was so frustrated because I watched elderly people bending down, trying to, like, write on this little screen with a weird little thing. You can imagine what the signature comes out to look like. It doesn't look anything like their signature. They weren't even offered a chair. They didn't even put a chair. Well, at the precinct that I was observing, they didn't offer a chair. Yeah, no, there's night and day between different precincts, but some precincts are just not run well. From my personal observation. So, you know, the poll pads has issues. And unless there's people qualified to use them properly, you know, it just creates additional problems that we don't necessarily need. And that was part of why we had recommended at the last commission meeting that we give a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to go back to, you know, get rid of the poll pads. So I guess I'll stop with that. Anything else, anybody? No? All right. So moving on to R1, receive an update from ad hoc committee members London Gray regarding voter rolls. I'll go ahead and start this one. So, you know, there was all this discussion during public comment about...
Chair?
Yes.
Were we going to consider directing commissioners to draft recommendations on R2?
Oh, good question.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that we already have a bunch of ad hoc committees that touch on a lot of this stuff. So I think that we should, you know, maybe between now and our next meeting, we can all look at our list of ad hoc committees. We could look at the list of issues that may have come up during the March 5th election, and then we can determine if we need any additional committees or whether we have any potential recommendations. I mean, you know, we have 100 out there already.
Gotcha.
Okay. Are you guys okay with that? Okay. So moving on to R1, I wanted to mention, because it was brought up so much during public comment, this ad that Bev did. So we do have an ad hoc committee. It was formed on December 18th, 2023, specifically members or me and Ms. Gray to examine the voter rolls and report back to the committee at a future date with recommendations to present to the Board of Supervisors. So as part of that committee, Ms. Gray has been gathering data and information. And at our last meeting, in passing, she said, I'm going to put an ad, because she had heard people had been calling her, people, friends of friends and people and anybody that knew about her had been calling her, giving reports since during February about oddities and irregularities related to the ballots, which are tied to the voter rolls. So she said, I'm going to put an ad out telling people to call me so I can document, you know, more cases. And I said, great. So She apparently did that. I was not involved on any level, but my understanding is that it was her idea that I, you know, I condoned it. It's part of an ad hoc committee for this commission. Honestly, I didn't hear her report, or I mean her ad, so I don't even know what was said, but I've heard through the grapevine that she identified herself as a commission member. So, you know, those are the facts as they are. So do you want to say anything about voter rolls?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. First off, there is no one in this room that I dislike. I've only come close to disliking two people in my whole life, okay? So this is nothing personal. I want to know how I can be on a committee to look at the voter rolls and not be able to look at the voter rolls. If I don't know the problems, how can we figure out a solution, okay? Now, the problems right now, with the ballots that went out, a lot of people got two ballots because they could not vote for president. A card went out informing people of the problem. When did the card go out? Was it before or after the ballots were printed? If it was after the company was already working on the ballots, why could the postcard not have gone out sooner to allow people time to change their party and then just get one ballot? That would have eliminated a lot of problems, okay? Okay, ballots came to people where their party had been switched to another party without them knowing. Need to find out why. If it was all from DMV, does that show that the DMV registration is not a good system? Ballots were sent to people that were deceased. We had one person testify or speak last commission meeting that he got a ballot for his wife that died in 22, okay? And there seems to be a lot of people that died in 2022 that got a ballot, okay? So that should have been enough time to clean that voter person off of the ballots, okay, not produce a ballot. There were people that died before February of this year that received a ballot. We will have to wait and see if they voted. I will still not have gotten a copy of the voter rolls, okay? Ballot was for someone that moved. Some of them were for years ago and has been reported to the ROV for years, okay? We found that out during our canvassing, and it appeared to be the case during people contacting me, okay? Why have these voters not been removed from getting ballots at that invalid address? Some people getting ballots were for people that were totally unknown and never lived at that address, even though the person living there has been living there for years and years, okay? Some people got ballots that moved out of state and have been voting in that state. Arkansas news coverage did an article on how many out-of-state ballots from California that their residents got after being in Arkansas for years. Okay, why did that happen? Some people got a ballot with their first name and a ballot with their nickname. A person's only have one voter registration ID. I don't know how you can print two ballots with one registration ID, and that's just from thinking programming and reading one record at a time. Some people got a ballot with their middle name, and the other ballot had their middle initial. Okay, people got ballots that did not know they were registered. People got ballots to their physical address and also to their mailing address. Ballots out of the country, out of the county, ballots out of the state. Ballots went to people that lived someplace years ago, and there was never a ballot since they moved. Now all of a sudden, they get a ballot for them. How can that happen? If they were inactive or canceled, if they re-registered, you would think they would have had their correct address. Okay. The DMV is basically blamed for a lot of the problems, which I agree. But I looked at the 2020 files, and the problems were not just from the DMV registration. If it is a system that cannot be trusted, why are we using it? Why are nonprofits allowed to register people, and how is that monitored? How do we know the person registering online is who they say they are? How does the ROV make sure all registrants are valid? We are told most people are honest, which I agree. That's why I like so many people. But that doesn't mean they don't need to validate. I was told everyone makes mistakes. The problem with the ballots are the same problems that was found during the 2020 canvassing. Only those people had voted. It makes me question, how are we cleaning up the problems? Okay? We have 2,467 ballots that were returned as undeliverable. And what doesn't include is the people that shredded their ballots because they're so frustrated from getting the ballots every election, year after year, notifying the ROV and get no reaction from it. Okay? Sorry. You know, it's the same problems. And these ballots that we're questioning are the type of people that we found. These ballots were not deliverable. But in 2020, they weren't deliverable to an address that didn't exist, but they voted. Okay? And that was a big percentage. Okay? I'm checking.
How big?
Of the ones I looked at, 41.147%.
Okay.
Okay. I'm checking into multiple reports from different sources that say we have over 20,000 voters on our voter rolls that should be removed and over 30,000 inactive voters that should be canceled.
What are those sources?
I said I would get it to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm working on it because I'm getting it from three different sources.
Can you tell me what those sources are?
I will give it to you at next meeting, okay?
Can you just tell me verbally what those...
You don't give me any sources. Why should I give you
any sources? I'm happy to give you sources.
Okay. L.A. County has been sued for having dirty voter rolls, and I believe Shasta County has been warned to clean up their voter rolls as well. Why are people not concerned that there will be a lawsuit in Shasta County? From looking at our rolls, it would not surprise me if 20 to 30% of our voters need to be removed. Think about it. Why are we still seeing problems in 2020 that we are still seeing today? Why can we only get two pieces of a three-piece puzzle when there is nothing on the third puzzle piece that is not on the other two pieces? Should be able to have canceled records. There's a lawsuit right now, case number 324CV00679-LB, okay, that is in the courts of California. We do have to wait until Shasta County has someone. Do we have to wait until we have someone sue for not being able to get the canceled status? Several people at least one precinct complained, why are we not hand counting? Think about why there is such a lack of trust in our elections. So many people on our voter rolls that should not be on there, we cannot even view all of the records. Okay, we cannot see the software. The same problems are in every county and in every state. People say there is no fraud, but yet, not only do they not want to hear it, they don't want to see it. Dead people can't vote. That can only be fraud.
Show me a single dead person who's voted in Shasta County. Show me one.
I'm not going to give it to you in public. I'll give it to you individually.
Go on, Beth.
Okay. Okay, I totally agree. The graphs that I have seen as evidence are problems, but this is physical evidence that we've been collecting since we did our canvassing, okay? People cannot vote if the address does not exist. And so many people out there don't even seem to care. And the ROV has been given some copies with names on it of people that have died, people that are places that don't exist, and other problems.
So their staff's working on it?
One of them, of each sample.
They're working on it then?
I guess.
Okay, cool.
Let us hope it doesn't take 7 years like all this other stuff. I totally agree. Dead people can't vote. How can finding dead people be fraud on my part? Okay, I just don't understand that. And not that everything is reported as accurately. We have problems that have been identified now, and we need to see if any of these problems ballots are voted. Okay. We need to find out what is wrong with our election system and who is responsible for the massive problems. There is a limit to where the problem is. The state or federal government could change or control our voting files. The county could be responsible for not cleaning up our voter files. Individuals can falsely be registering. The software can pretty much do whatever it's programmed to do. You can get any results you want. Other entities such as DMV or nonprofits, even though some do not think it is the responsibility of the ROV to make sure only valid voters are entered into the system, I do not agree with that. Do you see any problem with our election system? Do you want a secure, honest election? I would think anyone would want this. There should be software that prints out the problems for our ROV to be able to easily clean up the files, okay? It should check it out, give an edit. If whatever's wrong with the record, that could be corrected. That error message would disappear. Or if it was found out to be valid, it could be signed off on by a specific person on the record and include the time and date that it was accepted. Then we would know why it's coming up. Okay? I just don't understand why people... Tell me how much fraud you want me to find, and I'll try.
Commissioner, I believe you were at the meeting when the assistant ROV explained to us how the voter rolls are managed and monitored from both the county side and the state side. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. So in that process, do you recall how there is a lot of conversation to make sure that people are not being disenfranchised from the vote? Because that is part of the election code. Do you recall that?
I don't think they should be disenfranchised.
Okay, what you think is not how our ROV's office operates, because she operates under the guise of the law.
Well, but, so let me just throw out an example here. So we have people that pass away. Theoretically, the ROV's office is getting files from the coroner's office periodically. I've heard sometimes monthly, sometimes once every 6 months, whatever the time range is. Theoretically, if they were completely diligent about making sure there were not deceased people on the voter rolls, they would be making sure they get these records from the coroner's office, and then they would take those people off because they have official record from the coroner's office, and then there wouldn't be. I've also suggested to them that, you know, well, maybe I haven't suggested this yet, but I have thought about it and talked about it with others. They need to go back and clean up the voter rolls from scratch, not just taking what they get in from elsewhere, because maybe there's already multiple hundreds of deceased people on the voter roll that they missed at some previous time when that information was sent or when they didn't have staff. I don't know. But you, like Ms. Gray said, you can't have deceased people voting. And we have a gentleman that came in here and said he notified the ROV's office that his wife had passed away. So why are these people still on the voter rolls?
Well, it's a question. I think this is, I would really like to see the voter roll subcommittee. And if we have to reorg this in a way that we have a better relationship getting the work done in the ROV's office, let's do that. Because they staff in the ROV's office has explained to us the process and that they're working it. We have 180,000 people that live in this county, and the two dozen people that work in the ROV's office cannot be mind readers and know who's been married and changed their name and know who's moved and know who's done all these things. You know, I just moved. I made a conscious decision in October to change my voter registration. Not everyone does that.
Okay. I'd like to clarify something. I did not say it is in our county that's doing it. I did not say it's our ROV. It is there's only so many ways it's happening. And our system is not a valid system right now. If the state is putting these people back on, that
please,
is a
please show me one instance where that has happened. One instance.
You won't give, I can't get access to the council voter rolls, so. Yeah, okay, make it a joke. Make it a joke. This is not a serious thing. It's only our elections.
No, I also have some other questions on ROV on this item as well. I am extremely concerned as a commissioner that there was that ad on the radio insinuating that this was a commission work. It wasn't. This isn't anything we voted on. This isn't anything that you made the commission aware of.
We voted to form an ad hoc committee to work on voter rolls.
To work on voter rolls, right. Not to be collecting data from people through a private phone number. That is a huge jump from one to the other.
The ballots that are going out are coming from the voter rolls. I have had numerous people calling me with their problems. Okay.
Have you sent those over to Joanna?
I'm going to when I'm done with it. When I give the report to the board, I will be given a copy to Joanna. Okay?
So do you understand that the ballot, as you have just said, being an extension of the voter rolls, that there are limitations to what you can do with that data and personally collecting it?
Do you understand I did not ask for any ballots, period?
Okay,
just a copy or a name? And okay, they did not have to call me?
Well, no, because it wasn't your number. How did that number get in that? How did that come about?
That's irrelevant.
It is not irrelevant.
It's software.
We know whose number it is.
Okay, so can I mean I have some real questions about this, Bev. I mean
what is the concern? There's data being collected by people that volunteered to give the information. There's data being collected about problems that they have had. Related to
and I have been saying from day one that this information
address.
Should be going through the ROV's office.
It's going through the sheriff's department.
Then the ROV should put out an ad on the paper saying, if you have problems with the vote, you know, something, you got a ballot
that's
wrong,
that's on
contact
the website.
Our office.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I have more questions.
It is going to the sheriff's department, so I don't need to
Can I get that case number, please?
I don't have it with me. You've been given it before.
I'll take the case number. You have not given it to me before.
Yes,
it
sir.
Has been announced multiple times.
I mean, I guess you're not in agreement that that what you did was overstepping, you know, our bylaws and what we were doing. You know, be very clear with me. Is this something you did as an individual, or did you do it as part of our subcommittee?
I said I was on the commission when I did the ad.
Okay, and that's a problem. That is a problem because we...
Is it a lie?
It's disingenuous because what we agreed to was for you to go through the voter rolls, not to be collecting information from the public, acting like we had approved that.
There were no constraints on what we were to look at related to the voter rolls.
Those words were pretty damn clear.
Well, I'll read them again.
So... You know, can you tell me who initiated this advertisement? Did you go down and pay for it?
It says, examine the voter rolls and report back to the committee at the future date with recommendations to present to the board. So part of
Examine the voter rolls.
Part of the examining of the voter rolls is finding these issues that are being looked at.
Counsel,
I don't think we're going to
legally, is that the same?
What are you asking me?
We're not going to try this today as if it's a court of law.
I'm not trying to. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
Based on what we moved and approved, which was to have a subcommittee go through the voter rolls, is taking out an ad using a personal phone number, exercising authority from this dais, from this commission, to collect that data that normally should be going through the voter, the ROV's office, is that within the confines of what we agreed to do? I don't think it is.
You didn't vote to have the subcommittee anyway, probably. So.
And that's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a hypothetical to say that the commission might want to take out an ad or something like that.
Well, but it's no longer hypothetical. No. It happened.
The commission did not take out an ad.
No.
Are you asking me a question? Let me just.
Okay.
Okay. So but any ad that the commission would want to take out should be approved by council. That's how that should work. So with that said, the ad that you're discussing was not something that was approved by council.
Can you tell me what was wrong with the ad?
I'm not going to address that here.
Okay.
Yeah. So this isn't going to be resolved today.
Okay. People. So can you tell me who paid for the advertisement?
No, you can find out yourself.
Okay. So another question for council. The commission's majority has insisted that we have subpoena power. Is that true? And if so, can we go ahead and issue a subpoena for that payment record from the radio station?
I'm also not going to answer that question right now. If the board wants to move to address that question, or they want to talk about some legal matter in closed session, then we can do that.
Okay. Can we put this on the agenda for closed session as soon as possible?
Okay. I don't believe I've ever claimed that we have the permission to get a subpoena. I believe it is the chair of the board that has that power.
Okay. So who suggested, Bev, was it your idea to use your role as the commission to take out that ad?
I'm not answering that.
Okay. How did John Knight and or his wife get involved in this?
What do you want? You wanting to point fingers? I'm willing to take whatever, okay? Because there's nothing wrong with what I did.
Oh, there's a lot wrong with it. You're being investigated.
That is your. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So how many phone calls were received?
I have three.
Three. How long did the ad actually run? How long did the ad actually stay on air?
I don't know, a day.
Okay. Let's see. What were the callers instructed to do?
They were told if they want to send me any information, they could. But they definitely did not have to.
Okay. Again, I think you may have already answered this, but were any ballots collected through this initiative?
I didn't collect ballots.
Okay.
I never asked for a ballot.
Okay, and so did anybody offer you a ballot?
Yes, and I told them I didn't want it.
Okay, so you returned that ballot to the person who gave it to you?
I can't return it if I never took it.
Okay.
You're not a prosecutor.
Yeah. No, there's some things that need to come out of this. This is... Okay. I'm allowed to ask questions.
Yeah, but we this was aren't. Supposed to be just regarding the report of the subcommittee, right? Okay, can we get back on track to the subcommittee?
So I'd like to make a motion that we put this on for closed session so that we can appropriately have the conversation with legal counsel about it.
It's fine with me.
Okay, we have
a motion. Fine with me.
Do we have a second?
I just have a procedural question, so I'm always wanting this is the right procedure. So this is a non-vote item. Just reports, and now we have a motion to put an item on closed session. Is that how it works?
Well, I do believe that you can make a recommendation for a closed session item that you know that can be placed on closed session.
Okay, I'd like to make that recommendation.
Do we want to take a vote on it? Do you?
I have a question. How do we have legal counsel there when they only represent one side? There's not both sides being represented.
What sides are you referring to?
It's okay. We would just hear from county's legal counsel. That's what the purpose of the closed session would be. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so if anything, we can clarify how to proceed in the future on any such.
Okay, so if we don't need a motion for this, then I would simply like to make the recommendation that this go on to closed session for our next meeting.
And as the chair, I'm fine with that, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we don't have anything else, I'm going to open it up for public comment.
I just have a comment, and that when I was working at the precinct, there were voters who had ballot problems, some had felt their registration, their party affiliation had been changed. And it would be useful. I mean, I wrote down notes for myself to follow up with Joanna on and how the system tracks these changes. And so we can hopefully get to the point of finding out, is it the DMV system that's making these problematic changes?
Yeah.
That's all.
And I've heard of several also, and that would be a good thing to follow up on. Yeah.
But there is other ways it's being done because it does track the mode of the last change to the voter register.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that's why I've seen different ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Christian, you're up.
Chair, I don't appreciate you trying to cover up. This is ridiculous. This ad is illegal. It was not sponsored by this commission. And in fact, it was so hot that every county office demanded it got pulled immediately. This ad is because three of you are propagating false information. All the information that Bev just read off about proof is unsubstantiated allegations, has not been proven, period. Zip. I don't care how many Dr. Franks you can get up here. It's bull you know what. There's no, you're operating off of unsubstantiated malarkey. I'm trying to keep my language civil, to propagate a big lie, to divide this county, to rile up mistrust. And that's your main mandate. Yeah, why don't you just call it that? This ad is a perfect example of how some people on this commission and some people on our board of supervisors, I know that's not on the agenda, think they can subjugate law, think that they can violate law. That's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. Three of you advocating that people violate law because you think there's some constitutional reason to do so that has not been adjudicated in court after court after court after court after court. I could go on and on and on and on. Period. And we're spending tax. You know, it was quoted at the supervisors' meeting that, oh, ha, what's $50,000? What's $60,000? Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of families that, working families, that would tell you that's a hell of a lot of money. That could feed a lot of kids in schools. If we were really concerned about our population, maybe we ought to change our focus a little bit. Instead of riling up a bunch of malarkey on the behalf of extremists who have no proof, period. None, nada, yet.
Excuse me, sir. I have a question for you. I'm very much opposed to slander of anybody, but especially of myself. When and how have I advocated that people break the law, ever?
Okay. This commission, I'm sorry, maybe you weren't here. So I'm going to go through it. Yep. So you have passed.
I advocated when I was gone for someone to break the law? I don't think so.
And I'm going to let you know again right now. Okay, here we go, because you asked.
I did.
On January 8th, 24, this election commission, you included, there's two that didn't, advocated and in fact recommended that the Board of Supervisors mandate hand counting.
That's incorrect.
I got the resolution.
Yes. But the problem is, sir, that you're misunderstanding that when there's a legal dispute between the county and the state, the way to resolve that is through the courts. So what we advocated was challenging what the state has said we cannot do.
That's not
advocating for us to do what the state has said we cannot do in spite of what the state has said. Did you understand my words, sir?
Did you understand the fact that there is no legal dispute? There's no court case. There's nothing.
There's no court case yet, sir.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. The second example, since you asked, is you advocated that this commission send an ad hoc, who's that, Richie Grodd? I don't know, to look at Kevin Cry recall signatures because you think there's a little hanky-panky going on there. Well, guess what? That's illegal.
We voted to let them research the whole issue.
Yeah,
it was very open-ended.
That's illegal. You can't look
everything
at...
Everything that we vote on is always within the parameters of the law, sir.
No, I'm going to beg to disagree with you.
Okay, thank you. Next up for R1.
There's such thing as an opinion, and there's such thing as a legal ruling.
That's correct.
Get okay. back. I think we were talking about voter rolls.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about voter rolls. Unfortunately, the latest strategies for political campaigns are to overcome cheat. Vote early, vote on election day, vote in person, ballot harvesting, all the ways to try to counter a system that used to be so simple. Back when we had trust. There was election day, you show your ID, you sign the roster, you vote, and by gosh, you get the results the next day. That was called trust. So this commission was assembled to find out why we don't have any trust anymore. Well, a big boost to losing trust was COVID, when all of a sudden we decided we're going to mail a ballot to everybody on the voter rolls. The key there is everybody on the voter rolls. Machines don't care. They count every ballot you stick in it. Garbage in and garbage out. If you eliminate the garbage, you might have a clean election that everybody can trust. Our voter rolls, unfortunately, are garbage. So far, we've got, hundreds of illegal ballots that have been documented, that have gone to the sheriff of this county, that have signed affidavits. That's something you might want to call proof. And all of these illegal ballots are generated from the local voter rolls. And there are many more still being reported from last Tuesday's election. It hasn't stopped. Duplicates, dead people, non-residents, empty lots. The same election management system that sends out illegal ballots is the same system that expects to see them come back. As far as the machines are concerned, these illegal ballots are good, but as soon as they're counted, they are fraud. If banks can keep track of all their depositors' accounts right down to the penny, why can't we keep the voter rolls just as clean? One reason is because Shasta County does not control your voter rolls. Vote Cala, California generates what's called an official list. This is a list that's imported into our local election management system and creates the roster of voters. The roster contains the garbage that pollutes our system and creates election results we cannot trust. Shasta County needs to find a way to eliminate the garbage or cut the sewer line coming from Sacramento. Voter suppression comes from lack of trust. Do you trust your bank balance? Do you get other people's statements? Do dollars mysteriously appear in your account? We can do better. Thank you.
Lori Bridgeford, and I'd like to address the issue of this advert that was run on a local radio station. I don't know if it's possible to have it aired, played, or somehow available, because there's plenty of people that have no idea what we're talking about. They did not hear it. It was not on that long. I don't even remember if it was a 30-second, 45-second, or a one-minute radio advert for alerting, warning, educating. It was not about let me do her job. It was more about over the target. Because the ROV office has been so slow, painfully slow, at addressing these issues, that it finally takes a citizen, doesn't matter if she's on this commission or an ad hoc or anything, any normal person would totally pony up and pay for a radio ad to tell people, please, wake up, pay attention, look at your ballot, look carefully, review it, all of it. That's all it was an ask for, is to wake up and focus. It was not to take over the job, only just to say, pay attention. I don't see one problem with this advert, and I think it would be helpful if it could be somehow aired, either in the closed session or at the next meeting, because I don't think enough people know exactly what was said during that advert. Thank you.
Ryan? Thank you. Kim Moore?
Kim Moore, District 1. So if I want to take out an ad or put out a radio ad or television commercial and ask questions of my fellow community members, I don't believe I'm breaking a law. Mr. Cox, I don't know if you can answer me or not, but as a citizen, as a private citizen, can I take out an ad legally and ask people if they're experiencing any issues or problems and ask them to call me? Is that illegal?
I'm here to advise the board.
Okay, fair enough. I understand. That's fair. I don't see any difference with Bev Gray doing it. But where I have the biggest problem is watching Suzanne Bearmore attack other members, her colleagues, for doing what we, the people, asked them to do. I really want you guys to get video cameras in here. The citizens of our community deserve to see what this woman is doing. She is pure evil. And it needs to be on display. I'm sorry that every citizen can't make it here, and you're going to worry so much about handicapped citizens and curbside voting. Well, we have handicapped citizens who can't get down here to a meeting, and they deserve to see what you're doing. Thank you.
I'd love to have more people here. Thank you.
I'd like to know who decided who we the people are. Because we the people voted 68% to trust the ROV's office, if we don't forget.
So that we did. This is not public comment. We're on R1.
Okay, R1, voter rolls. Right. My question is, how would everyone feel if that phone number on that ad was listed to Nathan Pinckney? Mm-hmm. Question, how would we feel about that? Do you think all these people would be clapping, yay, let's send Nathan Pinckney our concerns? I don't think so. What if Mary Rickard posted that ad? And what if Mary Rickard said, everybody call Nathan Blaze if there's a problem? And by the way, Nathan Blaze is not here, and this is still a shit show. So let's note that. My next concern is that Ms. Gray, Ms. Commissioner Gray, you are here stating that 20 to 30% of our voter roll is inaccurate, wrong, they should be off of the voter rolls, and you refuse to give us your source? You refuse to tell the public why you think that, and you're a commissioner? Again, I ask you to resign from that position. And I really wish Suzanne would make a motion to disband this whole thing.
I will give you the answer from my canvassing, okay? The section that we canvassed was like 378 people, of which a lot of them were not home. But from 41.147 of that 378, we got declarations of problems.
Who's we?
The people that canvassed.
Who canvassed?
A group of citizens.
What citizens? Because you sat here a second ago and said, it's not funny. Just like you guys say it's not funny, I really don't think this is funny.
I am not
a person to come up here and scream and yell at people. I actually feel like an idiot doing this, but my blood is boiling because you made a lot of statements that are absolutely ridiculous. You're refusing to give any valid proof of it. You say we did this. Who's we? Citizens? What citizens?
Ma'am, you don't understand. We have
let me finish speaking.
Okay.
What I think is, from hearing you guys speak, is that you don't understand. Because a lot of the questions and concerns you have that I've been hearing you say, I know the answers to because I've been to trainings in the ROV's office. And it's actually pretty scary. It's pretty scary that you guys are commissioners and you have no idea the answers to what you're asking.
Wait, Bev, can I answer this, please? What you don't understand is that we do have an ad hoc committee working on the issue of voter rolls. That ad hoc committee has not finished their work. So there is nothing to report.
Then we shouldn't be out here stating the results of the work.
That's
we shouldn't be out here saying
comment.
That 20 to 30% of the voter rolls are fraud when that's really not what you meant.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you want to say something, Lisa?
I did say it would not surprise me, and we will get the figures.
Wow, this is pretty bizarre. It looks like you guys are doing the dirty work for the Board of Supervisors, but right? but anyways, Beth, you actually, like I said earlier, you shouldn't have said anything, but you actually hung yourself. So I applaud you for doing it to yourself.
So
I gave you advice. This is you. It was wrong for you to put the ad, especially when you're on the commission. When you're on the commission, you can't say, oh, I'm going as a citizen. You can't do that and separate yourself from that position because you should have known better.
This agenda item is to discuss voter rolls. And, you know, it sounds like you're giving public commentary on your opinion.
I know, but it's just so frustrating. This is, you guys, this committee is a waste. It's a waste. It's just, you guys are being in the middle, and now it's a totally waste. And I can't believe that you guys are sitting here wasting the taxpayers' money to do this bullshit. Unbelievable. Now you put the county in another lawsuit.
Oh, sure.
You know? And now you're going to be, they're going to come after you criminal. You know what? You did it to yourself. You should never done that. You could laugh all you want, but the one that's going to be laughing is you'll see. You don't believe it? You already got a letter. How much more do you need? My gosh. Go ahead. Keep on answering.
What letter did I get?
Oh, okay. I know you got a letter.
Who was it from?
What did you want to tell us?
I can't without seeing it.
All right. Jenny?
We can't see what you're talking about. There's election fraud. Show us. Prove it. Yeah,
I'm afraid the evidence cannot be presented if it's not complete. You can state that you're working on things. You can state that your ad hoc committee is moving forward, or what that looks like to move forward. But presenting facts that are incomplete are not facts. I mean, we have, 188,000 people in this county, and you've gone to 300 houses. That's not fact yet. That's a small portion. And you said many of them weren't home yet. So you can state we're working. You can state we're moving forward. But to present it as facts, that these are foolproof facts that we know have happened, they're not. They're just incomplete. They're incomplete versions of something you're working on. And I'm really afraid that if you keep speaking, especially about the ad, that it will not go well for you. And this is not gaslighting or fear-based. Literally, I asked you to talk to Dolores for a reason. She's been the fall guy before and gone to jail for this. It's not fun, and you don't want to be the fall guy.
Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, board. Laura Hobbs, candidate for supervisor, District 2. I just wanted to applaud you, Bev Gray, for all of your hard work on the voter rolls. And I completely understand. I understand why you don't want to give out details. For one, people, this is confidential information. If she were to give names and addresses, she would be violating confidentiality. And for two, this is a crime. This is a crime committed against the people of Shasta County. This is voter disenfranchisement. Every time that you have a voter on the voter roll that does not belong there and that votes, they are taking away a valid citizen's vote. And that's not a right. That's disenfranchisement. So the work that you're doing here on the voter rolls is extremely important to the citizens of Shasta County. And you are working very hard. I know it's important because the way that the people are attacking you, they wouldn't be attacking you if it wasn't so serious. These are violations of our laws. And when somebody violates the law, then you can't go to them and just say, oh, yeah, hi, I'm sorry. Well, these are how the law has been violated, so please fix the voter rolls and go about violating the law again and again and again and again, like they've been doing every single election. You have to do something about it in a way. You can't take the crime back to the criminal and say, hey, look, I want you to please stop stop being a criminal. Please stop being a criminal. No, you have to take it to the sheriff's office. You need to take it to the DA. You need to take it to people who can actually do something about it and who will be honest with you. So I completely understand why you don't have all of the details of the report available to us at this very moment. You're doing a thorough and an honest job, and I thank you for that.
Okay, so everybody wants to hear the tape or the.
What's your name?
Is this related to R1?
Yes, it is. It's about voter rolls.
Shasta County Election Commission. Here in Shasta County, we've seen lots of people receive ballots that shouldn't have gotten them. If you've had someone at the household that got more than one ballot, person moved away, passed away, never heard of the person, got a ballot for the wrong party or wrong precinct, you don't live in Shasta County, not registered to vote, please call or text 530-238-5845. Voter integrity is one of our most sacred rights. Together, we can restore voter integrity and confidence in voting.
So there you go.
Thank you. I'm one of the people who hadn't heard that. What is your name, please?
Debbie.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
I'm trying to get this phone number to work. Let me see if I can get it. 238. Did it work? I'm going to copy the phone number that you call, 238-5845. 5845, so we can hear who we're talking to. Go away. It says user busy. Oh, disconnected. So it's disconnected, guys. So anybody that wants to do this for Bev right now can't do it. They can't report. So how's that helping? How's that helping at all? You know, this is ridiculous. I'm usually a very private citizen in this county, been here since 1980, and I am pissed. And I tell you what, I'm part of this silent majority here that are sick and tired of all this bullshit. I don't even want to say anything else because right now I am so mad you will probably get it in the mail. I understand the way to contact you is through the clerk of the board, and that's the way I will go.
Okay, any other public comment for R1?
Do I have to sign up?
No, you have to go up.
What did she ask?
Does she have to sign up or come up?
She just did public comment for R1.
No, Diane.
The lady did. Debbie did.
Oh, I'm sorry. They looked alike.
Okay. I'm Bruce Russell. And I just want to say that, you know, this is a pretty tough job for being a volunteer. To take this kind of crap is unbelievable. And I don't see any harm in that ad. I mean, I get so many calls from people soliciting or different things. I mean, we're adults. We know how to handle calls. If you're not happy with the call, turn off your phone. I mean, she's not asking anything private. She's asking for help. And a lot of comments here saying that the voter rolls are just fine. Are you kidding me? There's evidence throughout the country of problems with voter rolls. And it's an endemic problem. And to put your head in the sand and say everything's fine is really pretty ignorant. And this voting is so important. I'm talking to anybody that thinks there's no problem. I'm not talking to you. And
just stop. Okay.
And it's just wasting so much time. We need to be looking for the truth and finding facts and trying to get to the bottom of this. And then I hear all this about, gee, it's state law. We can't do that. So are you never going to back up, stand up to the state? What if the state, we have a supermajority in this state, one-party rules, they could adopt anything in this state. They could come out tomorrow and say that from now on, 2 + 2 = 5, and you will comply. I don't laugh. We're getting close to that. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, oh, let's go through the court systems. Let's go to the Supreme Court. Take 5 years. And you're going to, in the meantime, 5 years, everybody says 2 + 2 = 5. That's the stupidity we're living in right now.
Amen.
And we need to wake up, and we need your help. And I appreciate everything you're doing. And Bev is doing a great job. And this, you're taking too much crap for a volunteer job.
Woo!
Thank you.
What?
I said,
what did you call me?
Libtard.
Are you going to pay attention or not?
No, I didn't hear that.
I would actually.
Ma'am.
She'll say, she's got to say it again.
Hold on. Let's have some decorum.
What did you call me?
No, excuse me.
Your time. Your time.
I'll stay right here.
I'll talk to you.
Order.
Come on, let's
start talking.
Yep. Can we please, there you go.
What's
have some decorum
name?
And you guys can talk about it.
Hey. Hi. If the audience can please remain quiet while our speakers are up at the podium, I'd appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Diane Kenyon. I am still the great-great-granddaughter of two pioneer families that are here. We never had these problems in the 1800s, the early 1900s, regardless of what party you were in. We have to work together to figure out what the problems are you folks are trying to solve and the best way to go about it. And calling people what that woman just called me is not going to do it. And you just sat there and said, I didn't hear her.
No, I didn't.
Which is what Patrick Jones says.
I heard her.
I was taking notes. I was focusing on my notes. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention to what was going on out there.
Well, let me tell you what I think about voter rolls. I think they're important, and I think we need to have a good audit of it. But also, voter rolls are the responsibility of the people voting. Every time you apply, sign a ballot or an application for a ballot, the bottom line says you're responsible for telling the county if you lived anywhere else, if you've moved anywhere else, if you're registered anywhere else, if you're going to school, if your parents are going to let you vote at home. Those are the responsibilities of the voter. Now, as far as ballots coming here and there willy-nilly, that happens. Because of all the things I just said to you. The only thing that we can count on is that they're daily getting the dead Social Security rolls, and those are being electronically updated. But the dead voters can't come back and say, I'm dead. So what happens next with all these ballots that are mailed willy-nilly everywhere? It does not matter how many ballots get mailed out. It matters how many get returned. And I can tell you right now, in 2020, the only people that got arrested for and convicted of voter fraud were Republicans. Republicans. This is a nonpartisan office. Try to act like it. If you don't trust the voters well enough to only mail one back in, then I suspect that you flatlanders ought to go back to where you came from.
That's a new one. Okay, anybody else for public comment on R1?
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Burnett. And in terms of voter rolls and fraud cuts across both parties. Fraud has been around as long as there have been human beings. So I don't think anybody would blindly trust anybody, any stranger, with their money. And they sure as heck shouldn't trust just anybody with the votes. Of course, it's not just anybody. We're electing a registrar of voters. So I get that the fact is we're not trusting anybody that comes in off the street. However, there's a lot at stake with our vote. It represents a lot of power, an enormous amount of power, and it's irresistible for a lot of bad actors who would love to control us, who would love to get rich, and who would love to change everything to their own liking. That's a pot of gold. That's a treasure, and sure, there's going to be a lot of people that want our votes so they can manipulate them and put the people that they want into power. That's just a fact of life. And what this commission is trying to do is to audit some of the processes that we're using for the ballot, for voter rolls, namely. And Bev's done a great job trying to audit that process because people have been saying, what is our problem? What is your problem? Your guys are complaining about election integrity all the time, and yet there's no evidence that there's anything wrong. Well, we're trying to put what we believe in practice by trying to see and produce evidence for people so people can actually see. We don't expect anybody to take our word for anything. We want to provide evidence, and that's what Bev is doing. She did nothing wrong. And it was anybody else that needs to produce the type of evidence we're talking about, this is the process. So I commend Bev and everybody else on the board for doing what they can, because it's not an automatic process. You cannot just trust people anymore to do the right thing. You have to have good auditors on both sides. You can audit us. We want to audit the process. Thank you.
Any other public comment for R1? Okay, seeing none. Anything, anybody? Or we beat that one? Okay. Okay, R3, commissioner reports. Bev, do you have anything to report?
Nothing additional.
Okay. Lisa?
I just want to reiterate for the people who are confused that none of us up here are advocating breaking the law among ourselves or anybody else. When there is a dispute in a legal matter, the process is to follow up that dispute, if need be, in the courts, and that's the end of that. That's how the system is. It's not defying the governor or the state. It's challenging the laws that they have made and seeing if they stand up against the other laws that we have in the state.
I'd just like to follow up on that. This is the same sticky wicket we found ourselves in last January or January before last when the Board of Supervisors first was talking about the Second Amendment resolution, and there had been a clause in there basically the board affording itself the opportunity to decide which laws are constitutional or not. And that role is literally written into the Constitution as the judiciary. And this is the same thing. We cannot hear from this dais, and largely not from the board's dais, can we be changing laws, violating laws, not a good idea, nor otherwise deciding what's legal.
I didn't say that at all. I didn't recommend changing. I didn't say we're changing laws. I didn't recommend violating laws.
And
disagree, if the resolution that the Board of Supervisors has made is in conflict with the law that the state has made following that, then that needs to be decided in the courts.
I'm just backing you up on that. That's all, Lisa.
Thank you.
Because I made this board back here. I don't think I explained this last meeting. This board, I keep writing down things that people have brought to us. And you'll notice almost everything that people want in this community, whether I agree with it or not, needs to be fixed in Sacramento. So let's rent a bus. Let's all go down to Sacramento. Let's do the lobbying, do the things that we know to do, because these things aren't going to get fixed in the county.
Right, but there's another way to challenge the state, and that is, for example, the Board of Supervisors can vote to have a resolution that is in conflict with a state law, either before or after the law is passed, and then legally that resolution will be challenged, or that law, however you want to look at it, will be challenged in court. If they don't do that process of making that resolution, then there's no court challenge on it. Yes, you can be a voter and you can lobby your elected officials. That's a different process as a voter. Then there's another process as a governmental body.
One of the things we need to remember here too is that as much as certain members of the Board of Supervisors would prefer it to be otherwise, our Registrar of Voters was elected by the people. She was elected to run the elections in accordance with the law. So that, you know, that one of the concerns I have is as I indicated earlier, we have a Registrar of Voters office that has done Herculean work this last year because of all the changes and the changes back and legislation from the state and staffing issues. And we are not running stable governance by trying to dictate what that office does in conflict with the laws that she is required to follow.
But again, I'm sure you have a correct understanding, but it sounds like a misunderstanding when it seems to insinuate that the board wants the ROV's office to not follow the law. That's not the case. The case is they might want a process in place. It might go against current law. That has to be decided in the courts. But the only way for that to go forward is for them to say, this is how we want it done in our county. Now there's going to be a challenge.
Okay, so
I'll give an example, like hand counting. The board's not saying, okay, Joanna, you need to break the law and do hand counting. That's ludicrous. And Joanna wouldn't do it. we're saying we, as a county, want hand counting. Now there's a law that says that can't happen. So therefore, if the county wants to pursue that, they need to pursue it through the courts.
Agreed. I agree with that. So anyway, back to reports. I received a lot of calls last week about the ad, and that's why we've got to address this, and I'm glad it's going to be on the agenda for next time in closed session. There were also, I heard a lot of people that had really great feedback about going to the polls or going in early voting and how courteous and polite and well-informed our registrar's office and staff were. I think it bears some reflection for us about one of the things that was most surprising to me about this entire election was how low the turnout was. This was probably, arguably, one of the most important elections for Shasta County in decades. And we've burned a lot of people out with a lot of this misinformation. And that's why I'm 100% on board with making sure that the stuff that we're reporting is accurate, that it's sourced, that we know where the information's coming from, because we don't want to keep confusing people in the public, because that will in effect disenfranchise them and disenfranchise our processes. And I don't think any of us want that to happen. We've got to start speaking from a place of knowledge and facts, and not I think, and not my opinion, and not I'm pretty sure. Let's see numbers, let's see sources, and let's work from there. That's all I got.
Anything else for either of you? Okay, moving on to R4. If I'm not mistaken, we're not going to take any action on R4.
Yes, no more.
We've got enough stuff to work on.
Yeah. And so I don't really think that we need to have any public comment on it. Is it necessary, Kristen? If we're not talking about it or taking any action on it?
My understanding is that if an item does not have a vote, it does not require public comment, Chair.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well.
Will it take a moment?
Something to I think if you're election issues, I would like to recommend that we take this radio ad, which was perfect, put it back on the air, and monitor the people's voice when they get a bad ballot. We got to know. We got to build that trust back. Get the trust back. We'll get that low voter turnout up. And that's why we're here. Thank you.
Okay, so any public comment on R4, which is to take the following action, discuss and determine election issues for which the County Commission may wish to provide recommendations to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors.
Just very quickly, just that ad. Thank you, Debbie, for playing that. I saw, heard nothing wrong with that. That was just an outreach to just check in. Not about hijacking, not about usurping, not about taking control. It's just, it needed to be done. So thank you, Debbie, for playing that advert.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Maybe those of us that will be meeting with the ROV's office, we can talk with them about it and see if they would be amenable to putting out some sort of ad so that between now and November, we can just get everything cleaned up as much as possible.
Kimmore District 1, I'd like to request that number go out, that when people want to call, people who want to provide information is what Bev Gray was trying to open herself up to receive. We need a secondary source for that, not just the ROV. It needs to be a private number. I don't know what number was used. I imagine that a different number was used to protect Bev's private telephone number while she was trying to do an honorable thing and be available and use her time to hear from the voters of Shasta County. But there's no way. If there's I had a problem with my ballot, and I did call Shasta County voters, and I did leave a voice message, and I can prove it because I did save the call, and I didn't get a call back from them. I do not, and I believe there are many like me, who would not trust the ROV's office to be the one to take the calls for people who are having problems.
I'm sorry.
I think it should be both, but I don't believe that it should just be the ROV. I can't sit down and shut up on this. Okay. We need a private number where people can report what's happening.
All right. So, okay. Anybody else for public comment on R4? The subject is take the following action. Discuss and determine election issues for which the county commission may wish to provide recommendations to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors.
Did this deal with the drop boxes and all?
This deals with creating ad hoc committees. Part two of it is direct two or fewer commissioners per item to prepare draft recommendations for the commission to consider approving for board consideration at a future commission meeting.
So it's for new committees, not current committees?
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't know if the drop boxes was part of an ad hoc committee already.
It was.
So that was one issue I wanted. Was it mentioned there's only you're going to recommend four only?
That was the recommendation that we sent up to the board. That's the minimum.
And it's already gone to the board?
Yes. That's the minimum amount required by law.
It was passed on a 4-1 vote at our last meeting.
So did you recommend only four boxes is what I want to know.
Yes.
And where are they located?
That's yet to be determined.
Okay. So some of us that live a little more rural, I'm hoping those aren't eliminated from there.
Yeah, that's fine. This topic, this is something I can discuss with you after the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then just to the comment about the ad to go to Bev, whose phone number was that?
This is not public comment, ma'am.
Okay,
this
then I'll talk to you after the meeting.
Yeah, that would be great. Any other public comment specifically for R4? All righty. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Renine.